This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, we are back for the RTD morning check-in. And so once again, technical difficulties makes it very challenging to put out the type of content that I would like to. So scrap it, do something different, and try to come back and make this worth your time. So welcome to the live stream. For those who are plugging for the first time, appreciate you, man. And as always, for those who are coming back, you know, once again, I apologize for that hiccup there, but once again, man, it's just, you know, it really, you know, dampens the vibe, especially on my end here as someone who's trying to, you know, think clearly and just deliver information and give an alternative twist to it. It just makes it challenging on my part to try to share, you know, without, you know, any technical glitches. So give me one second here to make sure everything is running smoothly. Hopefully we can get this live stream going and make this worth our time. And as always, welcome to the live stream, man. Appreciate you for blessing me with your presence. For those who are tuned in, we got Toya checking in. We got Vu Tran checking in. We got Mark checking in. Aaron checking in, man. Love the widescreen format. Yeah, so the reason I decided to do the narrow viewpoint is just because at this current moment, you know, through YouTube especially, they are favoring the short form type content, which is the vertical videos. And so the best way to reach more people is to try to stick with the trends and go along with where the algorithms are actually encouraging people to go. So that's why I did the vertical videos, just because in this particular video here, it's good to say outside of those who are subscribed, you may or may not get notified because the bell no longer really works for certain channels. And speaking of which, I just came across a interesting video from a mainstream news source basically saying that, you know, 20, I'm not sure, you know, how, what, where, but 20 of the leading social media and tech companies, they're deliberately coordinating efforts right now to begin cracking down on media dealing with misinformation and disinformation, meaning that Google's a part of it. So anything to do with the political environment that's coming up, they're going to make sure you don't find out about it from an alternative perspective. And so literally the actual ability to reach audiences now will be even diminished more. And this has a lot to do with the TikTok situation going on right now, the different narrative they're trying to spin out on that. But a lot of it has to do with curtailing the information that comes out from mainstream, from alternative media sources. So basically, you know, it's going to be important to have alternative ways of connecting with people. And that's why, you know, I got to diversify. But Rumble is where I'll probably end up. But then again, Rumble might have a lifeline as well, because they're going to crack down on that pretty soon, too. So anyway, we'll see how it goes, man. Did you notice an uptick in viewers? Yes, so I did. With the vertical viewpoint, I've noticed more non-subscribers plugging in. Now, whether they subscribe or not, I can't control that, but it does put the videos in front of new people because it's being viewed on the Shorts feed tab on YouTube. So it gives other people a chance to find this information is what I'm saying. So, but once again, ultimately, it doesn't really matter on the back end because the current videos is up now has been so they don't get viewed, period. So, you know, outside of just, you know, enjoying the process, you know, over the last 2 years, especially, you know, it's becoming more and more less of an incentive for content creators of this magnitude. If you're in entertainment, if I focus on, you know, laughing giggles stuff, sure, you're probably getting lots of views, but stuff like this it doesn't really do good. So anyway, I'm not going to bore you guys with that, man. Welcome to the live stream. Let me make sure everything is flowing smoothly on my side here, just because I noticed that. So we are streaming. So want to make sure everything is flowing. So with the first live stream, as you guys saw, I was trying to get into the nuts and bolts of everything, leading off with the good word, and they just wouldn't let me, man. I don't know what's going on. So hopefully this one works. And so for those who are coming for the first time, you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But so this is what I was trying to get into, just the daily devotional. And so I'm not going to read it again, but I'm going to give you just a Bible verse here. And I encourage you, if you're interested, to go plug in with a good word and get let the Holy Spirit give you some direct information, but it has to do with the intercessor, and it's from Hebrews. And I'll read it real quick and then get into the news. But it says, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And it's referring to, of course, Jesus Christ being a primary intercessor, the chief priest, high priest, sit at the right hand of the Father right now, who's always intervening and interceding on behalf of his body, which are those who are part of his eternal makeup, i.e. the church, the body of Christ at this current time frame. So I encourage you guys to go dip into that if you guys are interested. So I want to get into the news and information. Don't want to be long. Don't want to bore you with all this juicy information, but started off on the wrong foot, man. Got myself a little rattled by the inability to connect, but no excuses here. So let's get into it, man. As always, for those who are plugged in, I noticed that more people are taking the quiz. More people are taking the Dollar IQ quiz, and the overall average is going down, which means that more people who are not aware of monetary history are being exposed to some things that is hopefully leading them to dive down the rabbit hole to get more information. But rethinkingthedollar.com/quiz, 10 quick questions, real simple in essence. But if you don't know what a dollar is in reference to the history of the current dollar structure, then it could be a challenge. But Dollar IQ quiz, 10 simple questions. The current average is 58%. And so once again, the whole goal is to get you plugged in so you can realize that knowledge gap that we all start off with, and then fill it in with information that becomes knowledge that you can then apply to your life, and ultimately leads to, you know, getting gold and silver in any form of fashion you can. So take the quiz. If you find it of value, share it with others so people can find out what's going on. Okay. And then next here, I want to make sure everybody's aware of the opportunity here to take possession of what was rightfully yours. So colonialsmetalsgroup.com/RTD, one of my partners here, basically is trying to help people take possession of their retirement portfolios in a self-directed IRA using gold and silver. So if you click the link in the description, you'll get the chance to see all this good stuff here. And ultimately, it's just a Q&A form where you get a chance to reach out to the experts, talk to them directly, get plugged in on what matters to you, and you can actually download this little ebook here and get more information. But colonialsmetalsgroup.com/RTD or call 1-888-521-2448, and you'll get a chance to speak with the experts on how to take possession of your retirement account while you still can, because the stock market at some point will come crashing down and people will be wiped out. And this upcoming crash, I believe, will be the last crash of its kind, because it won't be the typical recovery where the Fed will inflate away and give that illusion of wealth again, because they want to transition us out of this system into something new. So check them out if you're interested. I encourage you to do so. Just, you know, talk to the experts, see if it's for you or not. If it's not, no problem, no harm, no foul. But as long as you got the option to do that, you should be better off than the majority. All right, let's check into the market activity at this current point. Let me just see what's going on. So as of right now, before I actually got distracted by that interruption, I noticed that there was some good market activity with precious metals. So as of right now, let me just zoom in here so I can make sure that I can see what I see here. Let me zoom in. So as of right now, we have gold at $22,343. And so that is pretty good. It's up 26, up 25.60 at this current moment. And then we have silver. It is at 27.46. It is up 35 cents. And then, of course, we have platinum. Platinum is up $8. So as of right now, we have some nice green activity, 25 in gold, 35 cents in silver, $8 in platinum. And it looks like palladium is down 19. So just a little something for my people out there worth paying attention to. So that is very favorable, given all the uncertainties and the hyperstagflationary event that is unfolding right now. We're going to get to that in a moment. And let's look at the crypto bubble market and see what's happening with the crypto bubble market. So as of right now, we have Bitcoin. Let me move Bitcoin over here so you guys can see what's going on. Bitcoin is down. It looks about 2.7%. Ethereum is down 3.1%. So it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody here as to what's happening. This falls in line with the equities market 100%. They're all interrelated. So looking at the action right here, we got Bitcoin at 63,000 for one piece of a digital ledger, having a stake in the Bitcoin ledger, just one share in the Bitcoin ledger is $63,000. Ethereum is $3,085. Think about this, owning digital gold, owning a stake in digital gold. Similar to having shares in a company in a sense, but then again, if you don't have an actual physical certificate saying that you own that particular share, then do you really own it? We'll find out. Okay, that's what's happening there. Let's check into the legacy market, man, and see what's happening at this current moment. Let me give me a second here. Bear with me. Let me refresh the page here, make sure everything is what they say it is. So as of right now, this is what we're looking at, man. This is what we're looking at. Microsoft is not doing too well right now. We got Microsoft is not doing too well. NVIDIA is doing well. Looks like Google is not doing too well. The banks are not doing too well at this current moment. But then again, it's all subject to change based upon what happens with the Fed. So don't worry, good people. This is what is gauged as the entire economy. And out of the S&P 500, seven companies has been keeping this the entire 500. The other 493 companies have been underperforming severely. And it's all propped up by seven companies. And only one of them right now is doing pretty decent. So imagine if this bubble don't continue to inflate, what happens? It'll be a major correction. All right, let's get into the good news, man. So this is what's happening as of right now. Let me zoom in here so you guys can see what I see. U.S. economy grew. How did it grow? At 1.6% rate first quarter, when actually it didn't really grow much at all. It contracted. Real gross domestic product, quarterly change at annual rates, adjusted for inflation. So as of right now, this is what we're looking at. And this 1.6% is well beneath expectations, meaning this is a contraction, meaning the economy is literally starting to the bubble, the air is starting to seep out the bubble bit by bit. And this headline here has the nerve to say it grew. And it's all being done by deficit spending. Yeah, it will end very badly, good people. Let me keep it moving. All right, so here is another little interesting headline here. And as a response of that, the two-year Treasury yield pierces 5% after quarterly core PCE inflation comes out hot. And so we have the economy contracting and PCE running upward. What is that right there? That's that divergence, one going up, one going down. Stagflationary environment, my good people. And once again, this is all subject. And for the most part, you know, it puts the Federal Reserve in a very tight spot because now they are forced to have to make some decisions. Do they literally allow the economy to continue to contract? And on top of all the debt implosions that's taking place and all the underwater companies, i.e. banks, that are taking losses, and then, or do they decide to literally try to reinflate the bubbles, destroying the currency and everything in between, on top of all the issues with China and all the other issues we talked about forever. So they are facing some very tough decisions. But the only response that they can actually come up with or will be able to come up with is more currency creation. Like, you know, it is a solution and the problem all in itself. If they don't monetize debt, expanding the monetary base to give the illusion that the economy is stable and progressing forward, the stock market will eventually come crumbling down. And then, of course, bond yields will continue to surge because nations who hold those liabilities will be forced to dump. Because literally, I came up with an analogy the other day. I was trying to think about how to process this. Imagine, you know, we love the game Monopoly, where, you know, you got the Monopoly game, and it in and of itself is a great model of how the current banking structure is ran. And you have everybody who's playing at the table. You have the dealer, the one who is in charge of the currency that is being distributed. You got the economy, which is a transaction take place on the table, on the board, and you got the participants sitting around the table. And so literally, if the central bank or the Federal Reserve is the dealer, the creator of the currency, to the right hand is the homeowner that has allowed the Federal Reserve Bank to come in and sit down and be the dealer and invited the market participants, which happen to be the consumers, the banks and businesses and all that around the table. And so literally the Federal Reserve has been dealing out fake currency forever and creating bubbles. There's winners and losers. And the person to the right of the dealer is the homeowner, meaning that they invited all these people into their economy. So you got the government sitting on the right hand of the central banker And in order for the government to benefit from all this that's taking place as the homeowner inviting the world into their home to play at this table, literally, you got all the activity on the table. And then because a dealer is so corrupt and crooked that he has to play along with being inside of the homeowner's establishment, allowing him to control the economy in a sense, he's sliding some currency to the right every single time under the table, allowing the participants to believe that they're participating in an equal game. When in actuality, the game is rigged because a dealer can create currency whenever they want. And he's sliding currency to the homeowner, who is the government, i.e. through subsidizing the debt load and things of that nature, always keeping the government in operation, draining the wealth from all those sitting at the table and having the ability to issue currency whenever they want. So that's not how it came out, but that type of analogy there is what I was thinking about when trying to just paint a picture for the current economy and the current structure we're in. And so I'm sure everybody's seen those little games where you see the Monopoly board and, you know, when a dealer runs out of paper, he literally just creates more type of thing. So that's just something that came to mind. Okay, keep it moving. I don't want to bore you guys too long, but just keep it moving. So here we got, this is an article. Let me refresh this because I'm sure something's probably changed since then, or maybe it didn't. But it says Dow, let me get this going on the screen here. It says Dow drops 500 points after fresh U.S. economic growth slows. Fresh U.S. economic growth. Why do they keep putting the word growth rather than put economic contraction that's leading to the slowdown of the economy? Like, just the word growth. Like, there is no growth happening if it's below expectations. That means there is a lack of growth. But then again, the narrative, of course, they got to control that. And so what else we got here? It says, let me zoom in. Stock futures fell sharply Thursday after the latest U.S. economic data showed a sharp slowdown in growth and pointed to a persistent inflation. It says U.S. gross domestic product expanded 1.6% in the first quarter, Bureau of Economic Analysis said. Economists polled by Dow Jones for GDP growth would come in at 2.4%. So they were expected 2.4, it came in at 1.6. Yeah, that's well beneath expectations. Then we got here, same information here. I don't want to bore you with that. But here's a primary thing I want to touch on. This is from Zero Hedge. And of course, they do a good job of compiling a lot of information and trying to help it or trying to make it, trying to line up so it makes sense. And so this is where I got the concept of what I will like to be, which will probably be considered a hyperstagflationary event when you look at the continual trend of these graphs here. But it says stagflation shock. GDP stuns with lowest print in 2 years below lowest estimates as PCE comes in red hot. And so just the graphs here speak for themselves. So let me zoom in. So as you can see here, this is what we're looking at. We had literally the great contraction, which was the shutting down of the economy, the 15 days or so to curve, which extended a lot longer. And of course, the reboot, it was stimulus driven, aka deficit ran. And so these are all the activities from September, December, March, all January. And so here we are now. We are at the current standpoint of 1.6. Let me make sure I'm not in the way. So as you can see here, 1.6, well beneath the previous quarters that were also, I would imagine, adjusted downward. I would imagine, I didn't bother to check this, but it's good to say, as always, once we get into the next quarter, then the real numbers come out that were revised down. So it's good to say that the quarter, you know, the last quarter was revised down and the quarter before that. So that's why these statistics, you can never take with, you know, you can never trust these things. But this is what we have here. And then keep it on going. It says, an almost on purpose GDP printed below the lowest estimates, which was 1.7%. The highest forecast was 3.1% from Goldman Sachs, which was off the unusual 50%. As well as the Sigma missed estimates as well. And this is the primary reason I wanted to focus on this today, because this graph here shows what's really happening here. And it says here, but will a collapse in the U.S. economy is just what the soft landers warned. The huge GDP, let me make sure you can see this. The huge GDP miss was just half the story, because at the same time, the BEA reported that the GDP deflator came in at 3.1%, hotter than the 3% expected, almost double the 1.6 in a quarter Q4. Worst, the all-important core PCE for Q1 soared from 2 percentage points to 3.7 percentage point. blowing away estimates at 3.4%. It says, and suggesting that the U.S. is not about to go only on, you know, the U.S. is about to not only go, not pass go, and overshoot soft landing island and completely, but crash land straight into a stagflationary recession. Stagflationary recession. And then this is what this graph is indicating right here. So if I move this out the way here, get myself out the way here. So this is what we're looking at right here. This is the state of the real economy. Stagflationary event right now. So literally, our economy has already been in recession. But then again, the mainstream media would not lead you to believe that's the case. But once again, even though the numbers are questionable, they're still pointing to a great divergence in the artificial economy that they want us to believe is real and the real economy that's happening right now. And so here you have the PCE figures, 3.7% and ticking upwards. And then you have the actual contraction of the economy, or growth, as they would like to believe you, trending downward. And so we got 1.6 trending down, 3.7 heading up. So what does all this mean? What will all this look like? I remember saying this a year ago, and talking with Mario, how when we were giving these figures a year or two ago, they were downplayed, they were ignored, just because at the current time, the overall stock market was doing well, and the bond yields were coming down at that point. So things looked very promising. But then again, it's not about what they would like us to believe in relation to Wall Street. It's about what's happening on Main Street, where the actual consumer, the actual individual, the actual investor, the actual, you know, household, what they're experiencing is the true indicator of what the real economy is. And as of right now, based upon we have jobs right now, I see a lot of people leaving comments about their employment situation in question. We have savings at an all-time low. We got credit cards at all-time high. We have all other indicators that are good data sources about what's happening in Main Street have already been very negative in a sense. So just the idea that the economy was doing well, I'm not quite sure where they would even be getting that idea from, other than the fact it's all a part of the narrative of what we're being fed from the mainstream media. And so as we move further into this year, as I mentioned before, the Fed is going to be on the hook because they're going to have to make some choices, because it's going to be hard to continue to have a contracting economy with GDP figures that are trending downward, while every single time they do a PCE, which is even fraudulent in and of itself, ticking upward without something officially breaking. And so what will break first? Who knows? And so all of these indicators here, to me, point to some type of event needing to be strategically done to either hide the narrative, erase the narrative, change the narrative, or literally give the Federal Reserve a reason to pivot. Because as of right now, what's based upon the data they have with PCE trending upwards, they can't really afford to pivot, because inflation, according to what they're claiming to fight, is still a problem. So if their solution of QT is not working, which it was is never designed to work, just because there's so much currency in creation that we don't know the exact figures. We only know what has been reported. And so somehow, some way, it's still finding its way into the system. And I would imagine, I don't know this for sure, but I haven't dived much into the whole Euro-dollar scheme that was created in the 1950s. I've been doing some more research on that, but that is another way of artificially creating liquidity in Europe. And I'd imagine that liquidity somehow, some way, can still be utilized in the inflating of asset prices that end up making its way back to our country, you know, the U.S. directly. And so somehow, some way, all this is interconnected. You know, the monetary piping is so confusing. It's hard to really grasp it all. Like, there's no single person that can actually put this all together to make it make sense, other than, you know, what I like to use as the narrative of the main driver of all of this is the Federal Reserve note, a.k.a. what we call the dollar. And so it is the dollar itself, which is the problem. And it's been used as the antidote to keep this narrative of everything is hunky-dory going. So ultimately, as a user of that strange same instrument, as days go by, it concerns me even more on, you know, how much of that do I want to be exposed to? outside of what's necessary to sustain, you know, operations in my life, I don't want to be holding a lot of those things, even though they're not going anywhere. They're going to be around, but with PCE trending upwards, you know, literally it's going to become that much more of a burden to sustain yourself in an environment where, you know, will your income or the amount of currency coming in be able to keep up with the cost of sustaining yourself? And, you know, speaking of, you know, cost, I was looking at, actually, you know, working on a little short video, and I came across this video, this article right here. Let me bring this on the screen here. Give me 1 second here. Because to me, this tells a interesting story as to what's happening in Main Street. And this is just in New York. But it says a poll was taken, I think over 1,000 people in New York. But it says 85% of New Yorkers say grocery costs are rising faster than their income. And so it goes on to give some very interesting details about this. But literally, because income is contracting for a lot of people, but then again, prices are still rising, it's putting a lot of people in a tight pinch to where they're forced to make some very basically life-saving decisions. And it's impacting health and everything else because people are literally going for lesser quality just to put something in their bellies. And this is an indication of what's happening on Main Street. So this is the real economy here. And so this is not talking about the financial world, you know, with dealing with investments and all the other things that play into, you know, wealth preservation, but this is just day-to-day living that is being impacted by the foolishness happening right now from Wall Street perspective. And it's all the collaboration of monetary and fiscal malfeasance colliding right now. And the people are caught in the middle of this. And so, yeah, anyway, long-winded rant there, but yeah. So imagine as we move forward in this soon to be hyperstagflationary world where the economy contracts. And so the lower this red line goes down, i.e. GDP, deficit spending will go up and corporations will be forced to make some tough decisions because consumption will go down, meaning that jobs will be even more burdensome for companies and they're going to do a lot of cost-cutting measures. And speaking of cost-cutting measures, I wanted to say this one for last, but here we have just more of this. So I follow this regularly just because how could you not pay attention to what impacts Main Street the most? Whirlpool is cutting 1,000 jobs as U.S. appliance demand remains stagnant. So once again, if you're concerned with your future livelihood, are you really concerned with, you know, updating your kitchen, you know, getting new appliances, stuff that ain't necessary? Like literally, and I was thinking about, you know, pretty soon, what's going to start trending? And so this is what I was putting together, you know, the video I'm about to do in a minute. And I was thinking about like, you know, what is the solution to this? And I'm like, you know, based upon our New York article, people literally feeling more of a pinch. Income is not meeting the demands of what they need to survive. So what are they going to do? Literally, discretionary spending will become like a main concern. Like people will literally cut down on the unnecessary aspects of life, fun, luxury, entertainment, literally just to focus on bare necessities. So literally, it will become a point where the necessary items that we enjoy will become less important, and necessities, the bare minimum, which will be what people will resort to sustain themselves heading into the rest of this decade. And I'm like, that is not the American dream whatsoever. That's not what people wanted to be a part of, what people expected, what people were sold when they got into the whole paradigm of, you know, go to school, get a job, save for your retirement, you know, live happily ever after. That whole model has been broken. It's done. And we're witnessing that now. So, yeah, this all goes back to the issue that the world faces and, you know, just not our country, man. You know, this divergence here, this decoupling of Wall Street from Main Street, it will be very disastrous, to say the least. But then again, we should have saw this coming a long time ago. Okay, keep it moving. And so I mentioned, I think, I'm not sure, let me know in the chat, but I believe I was the first person that I heard mention this hyperstagflationary environment is what we're heading into. And then I remember I posted this video. Warren Elizabeth grilling Jerome Powell. This came out a year ago, where she literally, one of those little back and forth, trying to, you know, make it seem like she care really, but nothing she can do about it because she's a part of the problem. But anyway, the whole point of this, and I named this hyperstagflationary crisis to drive economy off the cliff. So she literally talked about how monetary policy at this current moment, the way it's been framed, is literally leading us into a recession where the Federal Reserve has already taken a stance. They will choose a contraction of the economy, meaning a massive amount of layoffs is what they prefer to have so that it decreases spending, i.e. cooling inflation down. So the more people that are unemployed, the less likely they're out to go spending, therefore driving consumer consumption down. And this would help the Fed accomplish their soft landing. And so ultimately, it destroys the economy and destroys households. So this is that little graph I showed you. When it gets to the point where it's too wide, that's the hyperstagflationary environment that I was referring to, which ultimately, it's like living in a depression, in a sense. But then again, the wealthy, those who have assets, being the beneficiaries of the price appreciation of those assets. So that means we could be in an environment where the stock market cools down, but then in certain pockets of the country, due to like foreign capital and buku dollars flooding back to the country, like certain real estate markets could be doing good, or certain sectors within the stock market could be doing good, but then others not. So your portfolio, apart from having a mutual fund, which everybody has in their retirement portfolios now, you can still reap some of those benefits. So imagine living in an environment where your 401k appears to be doing good, but then again, you're unemployed or your hours have been cut. So you're forced to tap into it. So it's like, it's just living in a world where it doesn't really make sense is where this is heading. So on top of the fact that, you know, Biden is looking to increase capital gains tax, and it might not pass right away, but eventually they're going to get what they want. Then we have the whole crypto privacy invasion happening right now, where they're going to make sure that no funds are left untapped. So the word anti-money laundering will become another topic of discussion amongst the mainstream media, because they don't want nobody profiting off this transition. This is what's happening. Anyway, so this is what's happening in the mainstream news. Let me get into this article here. This is a doozy. Biden calls for middle class tax hike. And this came out today, man. Yesterday. But just to give you the little nuts and bolts of this. And this has to do with President Trump's tax cut, which is set to expire. And Biden will not renew it. Therefore, the taxes that were alleviated on the working class will now kick back in, therefore putting much more pressure on households. And so this is just a tweet from the other day. It says, Donald Trump was very proud of his $2 trillion tax cut that overwhelmingly benefited the wealthy and the biggest corporations and exploded the federal debt. Okay, that could be true from his perspective, but imagine this tax cut, which incentivized businesses to go out and invest and to create new jobs, which then led to a hiring boom, is what will be cut off. Therefore, companies will be forced to lay off because they will not be willing to take losses, because corporations are in business for profit's sake and they're not in business to make their employees wealthy or to really provide for their livelihood if they're not making money. It's all about the board. So real quick here, I'll thumb through this, give you guys something to chew on. But it says here, let me get this out the way. I got too many screens open. It says, letting the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire and stay expired will be a massive middle-class tax hike, because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was a massive middle-class tax cut. Yes, wealthy people also saw their taxes reduced by the TCJA, but law actually shifted a greater portion of the tax burden onto the wealthy. It says a family of five earning $90,000, slightly below the median in Biden's home state of Delaware, let me move this out of the way, would see its margin tax rate jump from 12% to 50% and would see its 6,000 tax credits fall to 3,000 under the Biden plan. It says Biden would thus be hiking the federal income taxes from a $350 a year up to $2,875 a year. So eliminating the tax credits would then create more of a tax burden on the people. And so this is not by accident. This is a part of their desire to, you know, fund themselves because they are going to run greater deficits, and even the tax receipts won't be that much, that very beneficial to them because, once again, if everybody's employed, who's paying taxes? So they're still going to have to monetize. So in the center of all this debt monetization and deficit spending and everything else is our currency. So imagine basing your entire life around dedicating your time, energy, efforts to go out into the workforce to deliver value. You're literally, you know, people are tuned in here. We focus our lives on adding value to the world so that we can get compensated for it. And imagine getting compensated in something that is being used against you in the form of deficit spending, excess debt, and everything and the like. And so it's like, literally, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So literally, you know, getting out of debt is going to take on a whole new meaning. And when I mean get out of debt, literally minimizing your exposure outside of what you need to sustain yourself today out of your national currency, because your national currency has been weaponized against you, aka the Federal Reserve note. And so it's becoming easier for me to say this just because literally just look at the craziness we're witnessing, the increased cost of living and the reduction of savings, the reduction of, you know, wages and the increase in credit card debt. So it's like, yeah, the contagion goes crazy. Anyway, I'm ranting a lot, but hopefully this all makes sense. For those who are plugging in for the first time, this may be new to you, but for those who've been around for a while, you know what's going on. So it's nothing new to you. Okay, so let me get into a couple other things here. This is just, you know, general information that caught my attention. Then you factor in, you see headlines like this. Zimbabwe's ZIG is a step to abandoning U.S. dollars, vice president says. So literally, this is everything I talked about beforehand is just issues and problems we're facing within our country. And this is what everybody who's tuned in and who's a U.S. citizen, this is what you're up against. You're up against the central bank that is against you. You're up against your government, which is against you. You're up against the banking sector, which is against you, because once again, if they don't make profits, then once again, they're going to take losses, and the losses ultimately fall on you as a creditor, because your deposits are there for those who have excess, like having abundance in the banking sector, even with the disguise of, oh, $250,000 or whatever, it's going to be insured. Really? Okay. But anyway, but then you have foreign nations, and this is what is most concerning. And so the rethinking the dollar concept has gone global. Everybody and a mama in every country is forced to now rethink the foolishness happening within the U.S. and ask themselves, do they want to be a part of that? Because the tool of choice is the currency. And who want to be holding something that literally is being used against you? I don't know. So there'll be more solutions popping like this. Whether they work or not is irrelevant. But then again, it's just the idea of what they're using. And it has to do with gold. And so real quick here, it says, Zimbabwe's new currency is a step toward eventually abandoning the U.S. dollar in the economy. It says the ZIG was introduced on April 5th to replace the Zimbabwean dollar after its frequent and rapid depreciation led the greenback last year to become the preferred currency for transacting. The dollar is used in more than 80% of their transactions in the Southern African country. So imagine if everybody in Africa is holding on to dollars and they witnessed some type of great calamity within our country and the dollar was at the center of it. What would you want to do if you're in another country and you realize that either the world is turning their back on the dollar or they're going to flood the dollar, literally, like they're going to cut on a spigot. And literally, for the next crisis that comes, the Federal Reserve decides to monetize the government's efforts to save the economy by 3, 4, 5. So if this previous lockdown time frame was $6 trillion, actually, give me a second here. I was actually looking at the figures, and I was doing the, let me know if you guys saw the most recent video that I did with the M2 showing how it's ticking upward, meaning that liquidity is finding its way into the system. But here is a good example of what the world is looking at. So you got to ask yourself, if you want to receive an end of this, if you want to receive an end, so this is the M2. This is the M2. This is cash and savings and CDs. Excuse me. And money market accounts. So literally, this is where we're at now. So let me zoom in here. And this could be just, you know, a little side note for those who may not be aware. But literally, when the COVID lockdown took place, the response to that was $17 trillion. So we go from, say, $15.4 trillion when a crisis hit, whether it's man-made or not, it happened. We all know why, whatever, but I'm not going on our route. But $15 trillion was in existence in February. Come March, 15 days of slow to spread. This is the 15 days of slow to spread, and it peaked after two, three stimuluses, whatever, $21 trillion. So from 15 to 21, that was $6 trillion brought into existence out of nowhere in response to this little temporary gray bar. Imagine when the next gray bar hits, which is a recession, and literally, we never really left that previous one, but they paper $6 trillion is enough to make people believe that everything is hunky-dory. $6 trillion is enough. Okay. So now, as of officially October, this is what I mentioned in the thing, as of October last year, we bottomed, literally. And so we got down. They got through quantitative tightening efforts, letting bonds roll off and expire, stuff like that. We got down to $20.69 trillion of available currency in existence. And I would like to submit that we will never, ever in our lifetimes go beneath $20 trillion in existence, meaning that quantitative tightening has failed. It's already ended. The reason I say it's ended just because if you look at where we're at now, so let me zoom in here. So if it bottomed last year right here, and we are currently right here, so literally within October, November, December, January, February, March, April. So in 7 months, using my fingers, we went from 20.69 to 20.84. So that 200, give or take, just for round even math, 200 plus billion has been brought into existence. At the same time, they're letting debt roll off. So exactly how does that equate to what I'm getting to? When the next event occurs, that $6 trillion is peanuts compared to the amount of currency that they will attempt to create to try to, they won't even try to reinflate it. They're going to try to, the next amount of currency being brought into existence will be designed to reboot the system. Because as always, they come out with these incentive plans to get people going. So last time it was stimulus checks. The next one going to come out, if the banks literally suffer some losses, the government literally are going to come out to try to, we got to help the people. So universal basic income will be a part of the solution. And so in order to fund people, that's going to be the next phase of stimulus checks. That $2,000 per month minimum, they have a bill already on the books. It's called the Boost Act. And so let me once again, so I'm everywhere right now, but I'm having fun with this. Just trying to paint a picture as to what we can expect. And so the Boost Act was something that was brought about during the whole issue last time we experienced. Let me find it right here. Let me see here. Give me a second here. And I'm just bringing this up just because it's good to have reminders as to what. So here we go here. So let me, because some people may not know about this. So here we got. This was put forth as a result of the last recession because of the health situation. But it says here, the bill creates a program to provide monthly aid during and after the health situation. Didn't pass because they gave everybody, what, 3-4 stimuluses. It says, specifically, the program provides $2,000 a month to individuals during the emergency and for a specified time period afterward, and $1,000 monthly individuals during the following year. So if this is what they suggested for the last crises, didn't get passed because they, you know, there's a battle in Congress. It was like $2,000 per month is too much. We need to just give them $1,200 and some tax credits or something like that. Imagine this next one to pacify people, to keep people from literally rioting in the streets, which they probably will anyway, because now the streets are flooded with millions of people who don't belong here. So imagine these are people who actually are, this is what's for citizens. Imagine the immigrants that are here who, like, how many countless there are here now. They're going to go crazy because they're going to want stimuluses too. So imagine how much money they're going to have to create, currency they're going to have to create. So literally, if it was $6 trillion last time, just double that, just for a good even estimate of what might be needed to try to pacify the people, prop up the markets, definitely give the billionaires their fair share, because you're going to have to reinflate the stock market if they want to, and everything else. While foreigners around the world who realize what just took place, they created $12 trillion overnight or within a week or within a month. The bonds are toxic. We don't want those things. Who's going to buy those things anyway? Who's going to buy $12 trillion? So the Federal Reserve will have to buy it right outright. And so literally, you're going to have trillions flooding back in. So you got 12 new created trillion, and you got 20, just say for 10 trillion coming back in. So 10 trillion plus 12 trillion, that's, you know what I'm saying? So the Fed going to have to buy that 10 back. So you can see how, man, like, you can see how this thing here, all these trillions I'm talking about is represented right here. It's going to be ugly, people. Man. It's going to be ugly. But this is what's happening. This is what's happening. Anyway, last little note here. There'll be no one untouchable when this happens, because they're cracking down on the crypto space as well. It says Fed arrest founders of Bitcoin Mixer Samurai Wallet. And so you would think that the Bitcoin maxis will be up in concern, because they literally have made privacy a privilege, not a right, with this type of activity. So literally, attorney generals mentioned that a cryptocurrency mixer that executed over $2 billion in unlawful transactions and facilitated more than $100 million in money laundering transactions from illegal dark web markets. So they called it a virtual haven. So literally, being able to take pieces of a ledger, spin it around so it doesn't leave a trail of your own activity. And of course, people were using it. Even the founders were out here talking big and bad against the government, saying that this software is for the people who want to be hidden. Okay, so you draw attention to yourself. But just the fact that now mixers taking code, scrambling it so that people can transact, if the government can't see it, then again, you can't be a part of it. So literally, taking computer code and trying to use it for your good will be considered a crime. So between the mixers being criminalized, social media about to be weaponized come election time frame, anything to do with software and the internet literally is a surveillance tool being used against us. And it was a part of their intentions all along, in my opinion. So, yeah, this is where we're heading. And then you factor in, here's another one. The EU implements a strict ban on unidentified self-hosted crypto wallets. And this was a month ago, but didn't really get enough attention. And so this is more of the crackdown on anti-money laundering. And you better believe it's coming to the USA sooner than you think. So, this is what it is, man. Never a dull moment in the world of a great reset, because the people, we're caught in the middle. We are the slaves and the serfs that this system is built upon. We're the pawns in the front line. And we got all the magistrates and the people of power behind us profiting off of this transition. But this is the world we live in, people. And so how can I summarize all this up? Even though you know what's happening, individually, there's nothing you can do about it. Collectively, the masses are too dumbed down and distracted to come together to do anything about it. And so literally, it boils down to a bit-by-bit strategic strategy people put together to protect and preserve their own while you can. Because again, they're going to come for that as well. So take pride in the fact that we are still in the land of the free. Enjoy the day for what it is. Give God all the glory and honor and praise, because he is the one who is the ultimate owner and sustainer of all this that we have right now. And to realize that beyond the obvious, focus on what you can control. And literally, from a spiritual standpoint, playing your part in helping expand the body of Christ, i.e. being a witness, sharing your testimony, sharing the good news of the kingdom. And that right there, from a spiritual sense, being something that God can work with to continue to provide for you, provide your provisions, your daily needs, you know how that goes. And then beyond that, literally, look for opportunities amongst all the chaos, because there are still ways that we can serve and add value. And that is going to be the best way people can navigate these troubled waters, because if you're needed in society, then you'll always have ways to add value and receive and be a part of whatever economy, whether it's a CBD economy, Bitcoin economy, gold, silver economy. If you add value to the world, you will be rewarded regardless. So you don't want to be one of the people who are not adding value and dependent upon Uncle Sam, because those are the ones that fall into the trap and fall deeper, faster, further. So anyway, but that's just the good news for today, people. Hope everyone have a good day. Be blessed, be safe. For those who caught me earlier, apologize for the hiccups, but technology has its way of becoming a problem. But then again, here we are. And I laid out a lot of entry information into this hyper-stagflationary environment we're heading into. So yeah, the smart thing to do also would be increase your ways of earning. And then on top of that, making sure you strategically diversify in things that will appreciate as the world runs from the dollars. They're going to run from the Federal Reserve note. So therefore, getting into real, sound, constitutional dollars won't do you wrong. It won't do you wrong. All right, good people. Be blessed. Be safe. I will catch you guys later. Peace.